welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having an absolutely magnificent Monday, and hope you guys had a great weekend. Lots of stuff going on in the news, as always. So we got a big show for you guys today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful, for this is the day the Lord hath made, and I shall rejoice, and I shall be glad in it. And I had a great weekend. I hope you guys had a great weekend also. I'm rested and well refreshed and just ready to go on the show. And we've got a lot of news. I've been posting news stories to the website all weekend. In fact, there's probably 30 or 40 on Saturday and Sunday. There's a bunch of them. And so you guys make sure you go to healthmasters.com and go to the news section and read through the stories. It'll save you a lot of time. It takes me a lot of time to do it as far as picking out the key stories of the day. Now, there's several things going on right now. Number one is, you know, Saudi oil fields got hit with drones this weekend, or the end of last week. And, of course, the U.S. immediately blamed Iran for this, according to the Wall Street Journal. This would be President Donald Trump being, this is President Donald Trump reading his script. U.S. blames Iran for attack on the Saudi oil facilities. I mean, immediately, no proof. We're going to blame Iran. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo blamed Iran for coordinated strikes on the heart of Saudi Arabia's oil industry. Saying they marked an unprecedented attack on the world's energy supply. They've cut their oil production down to half right now. So everybody's blaming Iran. But in the meantime, while everybody's blaming Iran over the weekend, we're about to go to World War III. The new story came out this morning. Drone attack on Saudi fields seen as a Pearl Harbor moment. This is from Bloomberg. And now it says, based on early reports, multiple relatively inexpensive drone devices were able to pierce Saudi Arabia defenses in a way that a traditional air force could not. Flying long distances to drop potent bombs that apparently set vast portions of the Saudi petro... Okay, first of all, this is all a bunch of lies. All right? I'm going to let you know that this is a bunch of lies. This was Mossad. Just let you guys know that Mossad did this because they're itching to start a war with Iran because of Benjamin Netanyahu wanting to start a war with Iran so he could be reelected. The attack... Now, listen to this. So here's what threw a wrench in everybody. The attack for which the Houthi rebels battling Saudi Arabia in Yemen took credit underscored the fears raised by U.S. Secretary officials and experts in terrorism about the rapid evolution of technology allowing expanded unmanned flight. Okay, so now we know that basically Iran had nothing to do with this. This was over the Yemen war with Saudi Arabia. And now all of a sudden everybody has to go, wait a minute. But, you know, lest our, you know, great president basically, be foiled in this effort of the Zionists to start World War III and to usher in the New World Order, Trump says the U.S. is locked and loaded after the Saudi oil plant attack on officials' claim that Iran fired the cruise missiles, and Tehran insists it is ready for war, but the president accused of allowing, listen to this, the kingdom to dictate foreign policy. Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting to me that, you know, we had all of these quote-unquote Saudi Arabians involved in the 9/11 attack, and you wouldn't believe any of those stories about any of that stuff, but yet nothing really happened to Saudi. But we also have to remember the House of Saud was put into place when Israel was formed in that whole time back in the fall of the Ottoman Empire. And what's interesting is it was all linked back together to the Rothschilds, who also put Israel on the map. So all of these countries, well, not all of these countries, but Saudi Arabia and both Israel are linked together back through the Rothschild banking cartel. Now, just in case the bankers were afraid that they were going to basically lose some of their chutzpah, okay, and with everything else going on, when they met a few weeks ago over in Jackal, Wyoming, some of the stuff has come out now about them. And we have to understand something. The world that we're living in right now has been created by central bankers. We talk about this on the show all the time. We're like the only people who talk about it. Their planetary stranglehold was almost complete until the Trans-Pacific Partnership was gotten rid of on its third day in office by Donald Trump. The TPP would have effectively nullified national sovereignty for all the signers. Now, but here's, let me share stop with for a second. Remember, the Rothschilds are controlling both the TPP and Trump as far as doing all of this. The rise of nationalism, however, that we see around the world is a reaction against the attack on sovereign nations by the globalists. Okay? These people, these denizens of the city of London, Wall Street, Brussels, Frankfurt, Federal Reserve of the United States, the old big international banks and their interlocking corporate cartels which control the world, their varying agents are saying that nationalism is bad and racist, because that's what the Frankfurt School is teaching us for the last 100 years, when it's simply a natural pushback against the socialist transhumanistic technocracy that the globalists are attempting to roll out. Basically, what we have here is this ongoing war that's being put in front of us, as far as the same paradigm, like Otto Kahn said, of the Rothschilds controlling both sides of the narrative. Now, what happens is, you've got to look at what's going on with the Federal Reserve Bank. They're actually threatening to pull the plug on the U.S. election, on the economy, to sway the outcome of the 2020 election. In Jackson Hole, Wyoming, at the annual Kansas City Federal Reserve Retreat, you had a strategy put forward for their new global empire. In fact, the term they used was, it's time for a regime change in international finance. That's a quote. It's time for a regime change in international finance. One was the head bank of the Bank of England, Mark Carney, who called for adopting what he called a synthetic hegemonic currency, which means get rid of the United States dollar as the world's reserve currency. And he goes on to this quote, we just have to move to the next phase, which is a total central bank takeover. Guys, I've been telling you this on the show forever. Now, at the same time he presented that, there was a second proposal put forward by people connected to BlackRock. Here we go. Here's BlackRock. Trillions of dollars in equity they control. These included former central bankers like Hildebrand, the former head of the Swiss National Bank, Stanley Fischer, who had been made head of the Israeli National Bank. Wait a minute. Let's rewind. These included former central bankers like Hildebrand and the former head of the Swiss National Bank, Stanley Fischer, who's now been made head of the Israeli National Bank. Okay. These guys have got to move around a lot, and who have been a key figure of the Federal Reserve in the United States. And the term they used was this, quote, we should put fiscal policy into the hands of central bankers. That is to merge fiscal policy with monetary policy so that not only will they be the ones to determine how much funny money is created, but they, rather than elected governments, will determine where that money will go. The third scam that's part of this is the Green Financial Initiative. This idea that we have to break forever with fossil fuels, which, by the way, fossil fuels is a misnomer. They're not fossil fuels. The Earth produces its own petroleum. We had to get rid of nuclear and get rid of coal. Why? Because of CO2. Because the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't. A bunch of anti-science nonsense is being used to destroy what's left of the industry. Now, just to finish the picture, was former Federal Reserve President of New York, William Dudley, calling for the Fed to essentially engage in a coup d'etat against Trump. And what he said is the Fed should consider how their decisions will affect the political outcome in 2020. And he said they should send a signal that the president, not the Federal Reserve, will bear the risks, including the risks of losing the next election. In other words, Dudley is openly calling for the Fed to pull the plug on the economy to defeat Trump so that they would be able to move towards a new central banker dictatorship. What the heck, man? You know, guys, nobody talks about this stuff. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, this is stuff that's going on right now. I have told you guys that these central bankers are the guys that go bump in the night. At the highest levels, they sacrifice human beings and drink blood. A bunch of sickos, okay? This is the group. This is the same group that killed Jesus Christ. This is the same guys. Remember, when he overturned the money tables in the temple. I mean, within a week, they crucified him. He came in and said, no, we're not going to do this. Pulled out a whip and started beating these boys because he hated them so much. And you got to remember, guys, for him to beat them and flip over their tables, he wasn't trying to be friends. He had enough of these guys. And what do? They crucified him. They set the crowd up there to release Barabbas. They hired him to go out there and give us Barabbas. And they crucified him. You know, Pontius Pilate had to deal with Herod. They beat him. They whipped him. They scourged him. They did all this stuff. Why? He flipped over the money changer tables. They had enough, because he was going to take their power, their authority, their central bank away. And these same guys, by the way, were involved with the Roman Empire as far as handling their money and creating fiat currency and using unjust weights and measures. And within a few hundred years, they also overturned the Roman Empire was broke. And this is what happens. It's so interesting to me, Austin, is that the central banks are holding up the economy right now by pumping more and more and more borrowed currency into the markets and buying more and more and more stocks, more and more stocks, more and more corporations, more and more holdings to hold the value up. They completely control our economy. Since 1913, this is what they've done. And we've given them the ability to do that. And it's like I said last week, until we're willing to bite down on the apple and say, you know what, we're going to do what's going to happen in the blowback in these markets. What we're allowing these bankers to do is to put funny money into the system that's been borrowed from them to hold up their badly leveraged assets, which should have been written off in 2008. They have a lot of stuff that they didn't want to write off because it's basically worth nothing. They've got trillions of dollars in it, you know, quadrillions of dollars in it. And they're doing everything they can to paper over the problems that they created by giving banks and loans to these people who basically couldn't even afford a house mortgage if they wanted to, some of them getting 4 and 5 houses. And all of these paper assets have been hyperinflated now through the printing of all of this trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. What did Ben Bernanke say when asked where the $20 trillion went? He goes, I don't remember. You just misplaced $20 trillion and you don't remember? No, you don't want to tell us where the money went because it got sent to all the banks around the world to basically prop up their balance sheets because they didn't want to have to come crashing down. What a mess. Also, I knew when we started putting those Band-Aids on 2008, I knew that this hen house was getting filled with a bunch of mess and it's going to come back to roost on us. And it's here now. And now the central bankers are openly talking about taking over the entire planet. Wow. And guys, in the middle of all of this stuff is cryptocurrency. And cryptocurrency is something you guys got to avoid and stay away from at all costs because that is 100% manipulated. Of course, that's if fiat currency isn't manipulated. But I'm telling you guys, sooner or later, these guys are going to stop doing naked shorts on gold and silver. Sooner or later, they're going to have to. And when that happens, the gold market's going to go through the roof. Silver's going to go through the roof. It's going to be a question of time. Look what the gold's already done this year. It's already up in the last year, up almost 50%. I mean, this is what's happening. If they let it fly like it's supposed to fly right now, it would be 20 times what it was. It'd probably be close to $12,000 an ounce right now. But they don't want to do that because that'll signify to the world that the dollar's losing its standing as far as its ability to maintain a reserve currency status, and they're not quite ready for that yet. But guys, listen to me, that's exactly what they're going to do sooner or later. Once they've stopped extracting everything from the United States as far as our wealth, then they're going to come in and basically bankrupt us and take away our ability to sell bonds on the international market and finance our debt. And all of a sudden, we're going to have a massive contraction of the M1, or we're going to have massive inflation. One of the two is going to happen. What do you think, Austin?
Well, you said a lot. So, I mean, let me just kind of put a few more things on there that I've been noticing as well. As you mentioned cryptocurrencies, in my opinion and many others' opinion, the cryptocurrency is going to be one of the final game plans, one of the final strategies that the central banks are going to use. Of course, you've heard all this rhetoric and propaganda for years now about Bitcoin and all that. The central banks don't control them. The central banks can't touch them. That's why the central banks are scared of them. First off, the research that we've seen now over the last few years with cryptocurrency, we have found that there's been very, very, very few individuals that are actually involved in the cryptocurrency market from the inception of it, and that in some cases, many of them were very, very, very shady individuals that had almost no backing in this market and all of a sudden came out with this currency that allegedly is not controlled or manipulated by the central banks. But then we have the central banks coming in and saying that eventually a digital currency is something we need. So you only need to put two and two together to realize that the cryptocurrencies will at some point in time be used as the final reserve currency because it has to be a digital mark. It has to be a digital currency. And all that ties back into Revelations. I'm not going to go into all that. I've done shows on it numerous times. But once there's a digital currency in place, once there is no more ability to have to print paper, once the ability of the debt and everything is so bad, so horrific, people are going to demand a cryptocurrency. They're going to demand a digital form of currency because they're going to want to be saved. Again, because a lot of the population now has been so dumbed down to believing we need the central banks to help us. We need the government to protect us. We need law enforcement and military to hold our hand and babysit us. We need to have the government take our firearms away for our protection. We need the government to feed us, clothe us, house us, support us. Everything about it is basically, it's trying to be done to teach the population to be submissive and that the government is all-powerful, all-controlling, all knowing, and they're the ones at the end of the day that are going to protect you, feed you, clothe you, and help you. That's what the cryptocurrency basis is going to be pushed on. Right now, there's still too much just speculation in the market with cryptocurrency. It hasn't been really, really hammered down and locked down enough to be able to fully control it. That's why they'll never let it go. That's why they ran it up. And as we saw, only about 1% of the top people that controlled basically, you know, the cryptocurrency owned almost all of it. That's why when it went up to $20,000 a coin or whatever, they pulled the plug on it and let it free fall. And they extracted billions of dollars out of the market. Massive amount of debt went through the roof. If you look at the debt on a sheet, on a spreadsheet, back when cryptocurrency was going up, 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 consumer debt was also going up, 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 up at the same time. People were leveraging their houses, refinancing their houses, maxing out credit cards, all to buy in on the cryptocurrency scheme. And you always hear, oh, these people made all this money, all this money. Yeah, there were some people that made very, very good money with cryptocurrency and betting on it. But the percentage of people that actually made massive amounts of money compared to the people that lost massive amounts of money is a horrible ratio when you actually look at the math at it. Going back to what we're seeing in Saudi Arabia right now, as you guys know, oil has been going down, fuel prices have been going down. If you guys have been paying attention to the pump, it's been going down for a little bit. Well, now there has to be a pretext factor in order to invade Iran. We've needed this for the last 10 years now. As in not saying we as in us, I'm saying as the central banks. They've needed an excuse to go in. Now what's going to happen is, more than likely, I can already see from the markets today, oil is going to go through the roof. Futures are going to go through the roof. The gas pump is going to go through the roof. Now, at the same time, you're going to have the American population going, oh my gosh, it's back up to $3 a gallon. Oh my gosh, it's back up to $4 a gallon. Oh my gosh, it's costing me $150 to fill up my truck again, just like it was in 2008, 2009. And people are going to demand that something be done. It's much easier to get a population to support an invasion of a country when you have them already riled up, rattled, angry, and mad at somebody. You just have to channel that anger in the right direction. The deep state, the globalists, whatever you want to call them, they've already noticed that there's been very, very little citizen support to invade Iran. There's been very little. They've even mentioned that before. The majority of the population does not want to go into another war. We've already seen Afghanistan as an abysmal failure from a war on terror aspect, but an extreme success on importing heroin and poppy production out of Afghanistan. So we don't need to be in another war. The population doesn't want to be in another war, but the bankers have to take over Iran. It's the last major stronghold in the entire world that does not have a central bank controlling their monetary policy. So what do we do? What happens? A bombing happens in Saudi Arabia. We blow up and now take out 5% of the entire global oil supply with alleged drone strikes from Iran. Now, did Iran do this? I don't know. Do I think they did it? Probably not. Could they have done it? Maybe. Would it make any sense to do this whatsoever? No, absolutely not. But does, you know, a Muslim regime have to have a reason to attack somebody? No, not really. But again, when you look at all the dots and you start connecting them and looking at who benefits, who gets the best of both worlds if this occurs, you start realizing Iran isn't very much at the top of the list to have any plausible reason or any really positive solution to attack Saudi Arabia. Now, one thing about it, too, that you have to start looking at as well. Last Thursday, and this has gone viral online all over the place. Everybody has seen this now. O'Rourke, the Democratic presidential candidate who's running for basically the Democratic presidency, he went on basically an interview, I'm sure almost everybody has probably seen this now, and said, and I quote him, "Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15s and your AK-47s. He was asked basically in this presidential debate about gun violence. He went on to go in this elaborate discussion of how rifle rounds are designed to basically tear through and commit as much bodily harm as possible. The problem is what he doesn't choose to say is that there's only a few hundred firearm rifles, sporting rifles such as AK or AR-15 related deaths in the United States every single year. There's only a few. I think last time I checked, it's like 350, 400 average per year. Almost all the firearm deaths are related to handguns, not rifles, not big, scary weapons of war as he displays it. And he goes on to further say, yes, we're going to take your AR-15s and your AK-47s. They have no place in the hands of civilian population. Now, we've seen back in, what, 2008, the Democrats go, we're not taking your guns. We just want common sense gun laws. We just want common sense gun laws. We don't want to take your guns. We just want common sense gun laws. Then we see back in, what, 2015 with Hillary and all that, well, now we need to start doing gun buybacks and red flag gun laws. Well, we got those red flag gun laws as well. Then they come in and say, well, we don't want to take your firearms away. We just want to take the magazines away, the big scary magazines, and we want to make sure we restrict the type of rifle you can buy if it has scary parts on it, like a flash suppressor, a pistol grip, as we've seen in California and most states. That's all we want to restrict. And then they come in and say, no, we're going to outright ban those firearms in California like they've already done. Now we have a presidential candidate getting on national television and saying, yes, we are going to take your semi-automatic rifles, is in theory what he said. So that went viral. I've seen it all over online. There has been a massive, and I mean massive, backlash from the constitutional patriot movement in the entire United States. I mean, the stuff I've seen on social media, the stuff I've been getting in emails, the stuff I've been getting all over the place, that was a really, really, really ignorant statement for him to make right now. However, they wanted to see, in my opinion, what type of chatter they were going to get online, on phones, on emails about this statement, and it went horrifically sideways. I mean, bad. The population of the United States did not take well to that. Well, of course, that's been going on all weekend. Now we see, oh, imagine that. Saudi Arabia gets bombed by Iran. We need to invade Iran now. Completely and totally removed O'Rourke's comments from the mainstream media. Nobody is talking about him. Nobody is talking about what he said, and nobody even cares about anything he said. Why? Because we need to attack another country to promote democracy and spread world peace with bombs. That's the mantra that they like to tell everybody. So be aware of what we're actually starting to see right now, because this is something that's very, very, very volatile. At the same time, now, I saw an article earlier today that they're talking about the Trump administration, Marina Polinsky, and the Trump lawmakers, basically, in his administration, is talking about making an app to handle the 4473 background checks. Now, this is very interesting, because I have not heard this really talked about at all yet. This article is actually on guns.com back on Saturday, and it went into detail about the app that they're trying to put out, and they're discussing it, so you can go in and fill out your 4473 form on an app in order to buy a firearm. And they're going to make this latest and greatest technology super easy to use. All you have to do is fill out your 4473 app. When you go to your gun store, you fill it out. It goes through the same NCIS database, basically the FBI database, to do a background check. Once you're approved, you buy your firearm. Now, on the front of this seems like it would be really efficient. This seems like it would work out really well. This seems like it would be something that would make it even easier to buy a firearm. But au contraire, if you guys know anything about 4473 forms, they are heavily restricted. They are originally produced by the ATF, still controlled by the ATF, and a firearm dealer must keep those 4473 forms in his file for 20 years, and basically at the time of his retirement, he has to surrender those forms to the ATF. Now, the thing about this is these forms are given the same status as a tax return under the Privacy Act of 1974 and cannot be disclosed by the government to any private parties or government officials under any circumstances unless there is a warrant and it falls completely in line with the 1974 Privacy Act. Now, you got to think about this for a second, what we already know with apps. We already know the apps are open market. They're given to every third-party vendor that wants to buy them. There's a reason why when you download apps, they open up all your permissions, including your microphone, your content, your phone logs, your media, your data, everything, and they turn around and sell it in the multi-billion dollar industry we know as third-party marketing. Now, if we start looking at this and start saying that we're going to allow 4473 forms to be used on an app, to me, that's very ominous in the fact that there's a high probability these are going to be used to not only target individuals in the future because they're going to be on the open market, but they will also be used to market the individuals and also blacklist individuals. We told you guys on Friday about a lot of things we've been seeing, whether or not companies that sell CBD oil had been shut down and merchant services have been shut down. We've already seen companies like Chase Bank and Morgan Stanley and all these different banks that are going in and blacklisting individuals that sell firearms, not even processing merchant accounts for them anymore, completely terminating them. So now we're going to take it a next step and possibly start allowing people to fill out their 4473 firearm background check form on an app and then process it. Now, again, this would probably be under the Privacy Act, blah, blah, blah. But again, we already know, once it goes digital, there is no privacy anymore. You got to be living with your head under the rock if you actually think anything online or anything digital has any privacy to it whatsoever. We already see almost every single week another company, Experian gets hacked, 100 million customers exposed. Capital One gets hacked, 150 million customers exposed. Facebook gets hacked, another 300, 400 million customers get exposed. It's a joke. It's a complete and total joke. So that's something that I really wanted to kind of bring up and talk about on this, because there's something very, very strange going on with O'Rourke's comment. It was almost like he already knew what he was supposed to say in that interview, in that Democratic, you know, debate, and they beta tested it to see what type of response they were going to get in the alternative media, and it was a horrible negative response, and now all of a sudden we have this basically attack on Saudi Arabia. Now, the next thing that's also interesting as well that I found is that Apple is now saying they're going to be releasing a new phone with built-in 5G capability. Now, the thing about this is it's completely same as the iPhone X. There's nothing new about it, except they're going to have a 5G module in it, but allegedly it's not even going to fully adapt to 5G yet, because it has to have an app to update the 5G system. Now, some people are saying the 5G isn't going to work in it. Some people are saying it is. I've read different things about it over the weekend, but one thing that really comes back to mind to me on this, and this is a film that I watched again the other day, and I highly suggest you watch it edited. It's got some rough language in it, and it's kind of a spoof of a movie, and it's called The Kingsman. It's with Samuel L. Jackson. It's almost like a James Bond spoof. But what it is about is Samuel L. Jackson's the alleged villain, and he gives out free phones to the entire world with free internet. The latest and greatest high-speed technology is essentially 5G. They just don't name it 5G in the movie. Well, what he doesn't tell everybody is in this phone that he has with this 5G software is he's connected it to these satellites all around the globe, and with any point in time, he can change the frequency, and it turns the entire state, country, region into full-blown, mindless, wrecking anarchy because of the frequency that's going through all these free phones with free internet connection 24/7 that everybody owns now. This is something that is very ominous in this film, and most people never took this film very seriously because it's more of a spoof, and that's how it's kind of made to be looked at. But now we start looking at what's going on with 5G, what they're starting to roll out, that we know that 5G was military technology and is still used in active denial systems and other software alike. We start looking at the fact that now companies are saying they're going to start putting 5G modules in this phone. When you start understanding the essence of frequency, and Dad's talked about this in great detail before, and how you can change things just by changing the frequency, and you start understanding that people's aggression, people's dominance, people's basically complacency, things can be changed by the very frequency that's produced, and when you start having phones that are going to be completely linked globally to a 5G system, and everybody's going to be tied in, and we have now pretty much the entire world population has a cell phone in their pocket almost at all times, and at any point in time, if they wanted to put some type of frequency out, they could do so. So all this stuff is very, very odd that's going on right now, but I would highly suggest you guys look at what's going on right now, who's really behind this, and, you know, are we going to attack Iran? I don't know. We may do something again. We may not. This is a great excuse for the bankers now, as this gotten a perfect example because of Saudi and how tied in they are to the United States. And now we're going to have an excuse with the civilian population support. Once they start seeing the fuel lines hit up to $3, $4, $5 a gallon again, everybody's going to be mad. And, of course, CNN and every mainstream outlet is going to blame Iran for the higher gas prices. You're going to start see the populace now start crying for another war to get gas prices under control. The problem is they don't realize if we go go to war with Iran and Saudi gets dragged in and everybody gets dragged into that region, you haven't even seen high fuel prices yet, Dad.
You know, Austin, let's talk about frequency for a second. Let me kind of clarify something on this. There's a really good book everybody needs to read. It's called The Men Who Stare at Goats. Now, what they did, George Clooney, who I can't stand, came in and did a movie about this titled under the same title and basically spoofed the entire book, kind of like they did Kingsman with the 5G stuff with the interface. Here's the reality. We are an energy field. Human beings are. We live inside of an energy field. This is why I've talked about our relationship with God being in his energy field. I've talked about that in detail on the show. I'm not going to do that again today. I probably will do it again, but not today. Too many other stories to cover right now. But what happens is a certain brainwave pattern is an electrical impulse. It's a certain wave line. When Stubblebine was doing the research in the 60s, 70s, and 80s with this, that a certain frequency makes a person, a brainwave pattern makes a person very happy or very sad or suicidal or super aggressive or can put them to sleep. The original research was done back in the 50s and the 60s using animals with wire electrodes planted in the brains. All of this stuff is from Roswell technology. I'm just letting you guys know that. And from Tesla technology that was done over 100 years ago. And what they found is that they no longer really needed the wire in the brain to put the frequency through. They could just do it with a radio wave with a certain frequency. Like, you know, you have a 91.1 FM. That's 91.1 modulations, you know, in the FM signal. And so what they did, they found out that all of these different frequencies have different reactions to the body. What happens is if you put an anger frequency through your brain, it overrides your frequency that you have in your brain, and you get very angry because your body has to synchronize with that frequency because it's overwhelming. It's like putting a really strong magnet next to a weaker magnet. This weaker magnet will line up with the strong magnet. And this is what the 5G technology is designed to do, plus a whole bunch of other stuff. It can adjust our frequency. It can make us extremely servile, happy, sad, suicidally depressed. They tested this technology with the drones in the Iraq war back in the early 2000s. And what they did, they basically had this frequency being pumped out through these drones that were flying over into the enemy troops, the Saddam Hussein troops. And they became suicidally depressed. And they ran up to the drones with their hands up in the air and surrendered. Yeah, no, this is not a joke. They did this. Okay, they surrendered to drones. Like, oh my gosh, this is awful. We're going to die. Oh, I'm suicidally depressed. And they ran out and basically surrendered. They have that technology because it's a frequency. It's an energy field that's created. And what they've done is they've tracked them. They brought people into the laboratory. They've tracked their brain when they were excited, when they were angry, when they were elated, when they were sleepy. And they monitored what type of frequency their brain was putting out. And when you understand that we are an energy field, let me give you an example here. If you took an atom and you blew it up to the size of a NFL football stadium, right, and you made the nucleus of the atom a size of a pea, right, and you put it on the 50-yard line, the first row of electrons, the first orbiting electrons, would be all the way up at the top of the nosebleed section, you know, row 100. Everything else between that pea and the top of those seats is basically empty space. Okay? The Bible says through Christ, all things are held together. We're in an energy field. Our body radiates a specific frequency, an energy field that's unique to us, to our DNA. And when you look at us through an electron microscope, we're basically hollow. You can see right through us. It's because of that, because of the frequency that our body puts off, that they can go in and control that frequency. This is the goal of the 5G system, is to make Lucifer omnipresent. That's the goal of that in the D-Wave computer, so that he can monitor and control everyone's thoughts all of the time, just like he did in Genesis chapter 6. This is the goal. Every thought of every man was evil all the time. Okay, this is the goal. You know, you, like Austin and I have talked about on the show before, you go into Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, Lot and his family's in there, and the angels come in there to rescue them, and all of a sudden, every man in the city showed up to have sex with the angels, to sodomize them. And you're like, every man? It says every, I mean, there wasn't one person who basically said, that ain't the right thing to do? No, every man showed up, is what the word says. because every man frequency, energy field, was being negatively controlled. This is what was going on even back then. And so this is what we have to understand. These interdimensional entities that control our planet through human sacrifice, drinking of blood, and all this other kind of stuff that we've talked about. The Bible calls them angels and demons. These things that control everything in this interdimensional field that we live in, this is what they're shooting for. This is what their goal are. This is their goal. That's why Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return. He knew it was going to happen again. Because remember, he's omnipresent. God is omnipresent. He's the beginning and the end. We're the only ones who talk about this on this show. We want to talk. You know, we talk about the insertion of Jesus into the timeline. We talk about all of this stuff. See, God doesn't get surprised by anything because he's already been there and done that. He's timeless. He goes into all times, all dimensions, all at once. There's nothing. You're not going to surprise the Almighty. You know, you don't have to sit up at night worried about stuff because God's already got to figure it out anyhow. When you're in covenant with him, just let go, let God. And just do your best to bring honor and glory to him and just try to obey his commandments. That's all we can do. And then grace is there for the rest of it. But it's very, very important that we understand that things are not what they seem. It's almost as if, like Cortez, this blithering idiot out of New York, you know, she was a bartender. And there's nothing wrong with being a bartender. Okay, I was a bartender. Okay, when I was younger, there's nothing wrong with being a bartender. You know, but the problem is that she answered a help wanted ad to run for Congress, basically it was basically a trial. It was basically an acting thing that she went to see if she could handle the part. It's a role. You see, and a lot of these people, they've been given a role. They've been a predetermined part by the New World Order, and they use them as pawns in the game. You know, a lot of these people are just, you know, put into a position where they never should be. And they're told what script to read. I personally believe this is where we are with Donald Trump. He's reading a script. That's bringing in this. You know, I mean, why would he not say, instead of saying, we're locked and loaded, we're at DEFCON 3 or whatever. He didn't say, I don't know about DEFCON 3. Or we're at DEFCON 3. Let's see, he said that. You know, why didn't he say, you know what? This is a shame with Saudi Arabia. But you know what? This ain't my problem. This isn't the problem of the United States. You know, we've got plenty of oil we're producing right now. This will help our oil prices and let our guys make more money. I mean, this is not a big deal. They need to figure out their own mess over there in the Middle East. And they need to find out who did this. Who dropped these munitions on top of these refineries in Saudi Arabia before we all start jumping to conclusions and pull the trigger and start a world war. He didn't do that. Well, we're locked and loaded, ready to go. I mean, we got a weirdo who says stuff like that. And this is the problem. He comes up with these crazy tweets. And you think, well, where's he getting all this stuff from? Why does he say stuff like that? Well, how do we know it's not all scripted? We don't know that. Or he's given a certain amount of stuff that he's supposed to be putting out all the time. And he talks about it. The Cortez had, like, I think it was thousands of people auditioned. It was an audition for congresswoman or congressman in New York. And she basically has no idea. She didn't know anything about fiscal policy. Why don't we ask her about the M1 money supply? Why don't we ask her a simple question like that? And how much total money is in circulation at a certain time? Why don't we ask her about macro and microeconomics that she should know about being a congressperson? But no, she won't have any idea about that. But she's given certain tweets and certain things to say, and she just performs. You know, you got to ask yourself a question. You know, why is it does it seem that these people – let's talk about Bitcoin for a second, okay? Let's go back to Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin all of a sudden got all of this incredible exposure on the internet, and it blew up, creating hundreds of billions of dollars that we know of in bubbles. It could have been bigger. It could have been in trillions. We don't know. And it basically cost us that. It massively increased people's debt because they went and bought Bitcoin. Well, they wanted you to buy Bitcoin. The bankers did because they were doing a beta test. And they want to extract more wealth out of you, make you go into debt, borrowing money on your mortgage and your cars and everything else to go buy Bitcoin. And every time you see something like this that pushes to the head, like Austin was talking about, Dimwit talking about seizing the AR-15s and the AK-47s. No one's talking about Epstein anymore. Nobody's talking about the hurricane anymore. Nope. And nobody's talking about and nobody's talking about the report out of Alaska on Building 7. Nobody. Okay, they've got it. Now all of a sudden, you know, everybody's talking about what happened on 9/11 again. It comes back up. All of a sudden, we have all this chaos happening around the world.
Yep.
And it oversees and overcomes. They tell you what the Reuters and AP Newswire are owned by the Rothschild banking cartel. They tell you what the news is going to be. 95% of all the news you hear is from those guys. The same guys who say they want to take over the world now out of Jackson Hole. This is the same group. The same ones we always talk about, the ones who took down Building 7. And they control the media. And then when they do that, they can train the brain. It's a giant brainwashing thing is what it is. That's why I don't have news. I mean, I watched a few college games this weekend because we were at a hotel in Atlanta because we haven't had cable in over a year. And I was amazed at how the commercials and how everything's used to program. I'm thinking to myself, this is awful. No wonder I don't have cable. Guys, and here's the deal. You know, we have to, if we're aware of what they're doing, if we're aware of what they're saying, it doesn't affect us that way. We're like, this is more media. My daughter was, my 18-year-old, and she goes, I watched TV the other day. She goes, you know, at a friend's house, she goes, Dad, they wouldn't mute the commercials. And I got so irritated because they wouldn't mute the commercials. We always talk about the mute the commercials, mute the brainwashing, with the shows. And she goes, it's awful what the TV does. And I said, I know it is. And I looked at her and I said, but honey, I said, you're on your doggone iPhone too much. I said, you're too involved in social media. She only has the thing in her, she's always talking to people, FaceTiming people. She's always got that thing in her hand doing stuff. And guys, we have to realize all of these things are used as tools for global enslavement. And now Trump is talking about internment camps for the homeless, according to this article. He's pushing for a crackdown on California's homelessness and wants to put them in internment camps. If Hillary Clinton talked about this, the whole world would raise H.E. double sticks as far as all the conservatives that she did this. But following reports that Donald Trump is pushing for a major crackdown on homelessness in California that could include destroying existing encampments and moving homeless people into government-backed facilities. We're talking FEMA camps? State lawmakers and progressive housing advocates said the administration's proposed steps are cruel, politically motivated, and would do nothing to address the very real crisis. So now we have a president that's mentioning the fact that there are going to be internment camps for the homeless, and what the heck, man? What are they going to be, more willing recipients for organ transplants? What the? Are there going to be more children to be trafficked? What the heck is all going? I mean, really? If you had not started giving out free handouts to all those people in California through communism so many years ago, this wouldn't be a problem. If we didn't have millions of people coming across the border expecting free handouts in California and all these sanctuary cities, this wouldn't be a problem. The reason we have the problem with immigration in the United States, and we've talked about this over and over again, come to our country and we'll give you a free cell phone, give you free housing, give you free food, give you free everything. And brought to you by George Soros, who is a Rothschild cutout. I've done extensive details with him when he was a Nazi collaborator. As he was a Jew, Nazi collaborator, used to turn in his fellow Jewish citizens for their money and for their stuff to have them exterminated or killed or sent away or whatever they did with them. And he left there, went to work for the Bank of England. They saw that he was a willing pawn vessel in the game. And he's still a Rothschild cutout. That's all he is. And he's being funded by the Rothschilds, just like J.P. Morgan was. And so we have to understand who these guys are. Yeah, just the other day, Austin, I was looking at the media, and it was talking about how these people were basically that we had 150 people, 150 large corporations signed a thing with Congress that they want red flag gun laws. And I posted it on the website. And then I started looking at these people that were signing this. So we had Levi Strauss, a whole bunch of really big companies. Well, I'll never buy another pair of Levi's now. And what was funny about it, one of the guys is the guy who had started a no-meat company, meat substitutes, out of California. And he had over 500 employees now, and he was this huge company. And I'm looking at him, and I'm going, where did you get all the money to push vegan burgers? How did you get this kind of funding? And you did it in the last 5 or 6 years? How did you get this big? So I went back and did the research on him. The international banking cartels gave him $70 million. In capital to grow his company. Now, why don't you do this, guys? Why don't you come out with a good idea and walk down to your local bank and say, I've got a good idea. I want to start a widget company, and I need you guys to loan me $1 million. I want you to give me $1 million loan. They're gonna look at you and laugh. They're going to say, what are you, nuts? You know, you got a net worth of negative $200,000 with your house equity and everything else. I'm not giving you nothing. This guy gets a $70 million loan. Why? another Rothschild cutout. Front man. Call him a front man. It makes it more sense. The same thing as a front man. They put them in a position where they give them the money up front to grow these companies. You saw the same thing with Bill Gates. And anytime they want to grow a company to that level, they just give it unlimited amounts of capital. That's what happened with Amazon. Jeff Bezos lost billions of dollars over and over and over again. And the banks kept financing him. Why? Because it is the banking cartel that runs Amazon. They don't care. They print more and more currency up and just give it back to Bezos. Now he's a billionaire, you know, and supposedly he got all his money. Same thing with all of these guys. The guy Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg stood before Congress and testified and acted like he was about to get put before a firing squad. His eyes are as big as saucers. He's scared half to death. And this guy runs Facebook? What? No, whatever. He does not. He's a front guy. All of these things are tied together to that corporate CIA, Mossad, MI6, Rothschild banking cartel complex that runs the planet. And that's how, when they want to make something famous, awesome, they make it famous. When they want to make something news, they make it news. When they don't want something to be news, they let some drones whack Saudi Arabia. What do you think, Oz?
Well, what's crazy about it is, I mean, even if you start looking at all the backtracing on it right now, I mean, they're saying that the rebels, basically, in Yemen were the ones that said they did it. The Houthi rebels in Yemen have taken responsibility, and they said they did it with 10 different drones. And then, of course, Pompeo is saying that Yemen didn't do it, that it was definitely Iran. And it's ironic because, you know, almost every time, and listen to this for a second, think about this for a second, because the American population has very short memory span on stuff now. Every single time, whether it's been Syria, whether it's been Iraq, whether it's been Afghanistan, whatever it is, every single time they always tell us, this is who did it. This is who started it. This is who procured it. This is who launched it. We have to attack them right now. We have proof. And you go, okay, sweet. All right. Let's see it. Let's see the proof. Let's see the drones launching from an Iranian airfield and launching. Well, we'll get to that first. We need to do a preemptive attack. We can't be burdened with proof showing that. We have to do it first. Kind of how, you know, Saddam Hussein had all these weapons of mass destruction. We have proof. We have proof Saddam has weapons of mass destruction. We have to go in right now. Cannot wait. Full-on invasion, full-scale invasion. Have to go right now. He's got WMDs. He's going to blow up the entire world. You have to do it right now. We're going to die. You got to do it right now or you're all going to die right now. Okay, let's do it. Invade Iraq. Yeah, by the way, we actually didn't have any proof on that, and we never even found any weapons of mass destruction either. It was kind of a glitch. But listen. They've probably been moved. Another country's already starting to do something. We got to go invade Afghanistan now. And we need to overthrow Syria. Gaddafi's got stuff over there. He's got way too much gold. He's trying to do gold-backed oil purchases with it. We got to go invade it. We got to do it right now. Don't worry about Iraq. We've already blown up Iraq. It's in rubble now. We've completely ruined the entire country. We got to go attack another country now. We can't waste any time. If we don't attack another country right now, we're all going to die right now. Does anybody get tired of hearing the same stinking, obnoxious, lying narrative over and over and over and over and over and over again? Does it get old to anybody else but me? Assad's dropped chemical gases on his own people in Syria. We got to go send 100 Tomahawk missiles into his country right now because he's dropped them. Well, where's the proof? Well, here's a photo right now of a propane tank that somebody took off of a forklift. Oh, wait, that's not a propane tank. That's a chemical weapons dispenser. That's what it is. And you look at it and go, that definitely looks like a propane tank off a forklift. No. It's on the bed. It fell through the roof. Assad definitely launched chlorine gas on his own people. That's not very valid proof at all. Doesn't matter. Have to attack them right now. Cannot wait. We're all going to die right now if we don't do it. This is the same thing they do every single time. Yemen-backed rebels launched 10 drones. Really, this is the same thing. You guys kind of remember? Remember what was it? October last year. Oh, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Eric Holder, John Brennan, Joe Biden, Maxine Waters, Andrew Cuomo, George Soros. They all got bombs delivered to their house by right-wing extremists. Remember that? You guys remember this? Just not even a year ago? They bailed them bombs. Right-wing extremists have gone berserk. We need to go in. We need to do a full-scale look at what's going on now, because all these people are getting bombs delivered to their houses now. And then all of a sudden we find out that they're not even real bombs. They're complete and total hoaxes. They're not even legitimate. They're nothing. It was complete and total sham. The most likely event, they were sent to themselves on purpose. This is what we always see. This is the terminology of false flags that I talked about many of times. When they talked about the origination of a false flag, it was when pirate ships would go in and ransack a country or run through basically a group of ships, pillage them, kill them, and then they'd put up another flag on another boat somewhere else that was basically the flag of another country or another group. So then when somebody else came across the pillaged ships or pillaged village, they would see the flag of another country and go, oh, that's them. They did it. They're the ones who did it. And they'd go in and start a war or start some type of invasion or start attacking somebody. And meanwhile, the culprits, the seedy little pirates that put the fake flag up, the false flag up, they're running around going to pillage another town, and nobody knows the wiser because everybody bought the lie. This is what we keep seeing over and over and over and over and over and over and over. It's like, that's it. Saudi Arabia is huge. They have a massive military buildup over there. What in the world are we even involved in? If it was Iran that shot missiles, even if it was worst case scenario, they sent 10 drones, launched drones in Saudi Arabia. Why is that our problem? That would be like Canada deciding they don't want us doing the shale drilling up there in the northern United States, and they go and drop drone strikes on us up there, and all of a sudden the United States flips out, and Saudi Arabia comes in and says, whoa, 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 United States, whoa, Canada, we know you launched the missiles, we are locked and loaded, we're about to attack Canada right now, Saudi Arabia is about to do a full-scale invasion of Canada. Really? Really? Is that really what you think would happen? No, it's not what would happen at all. United States would handle their own. Just like Saudi Arabia, unbelievably rich. They can run around in 50 different Lamborghinis, Bugattis, and G650s all around the country, but we have to come in and help them because their oil fields allegedly got hit by Iran, even when the Yemen rebels take credit for it. This is the lie that is currently being told all over the world over and over and over again, and people have to start waking up, or we're going to fall for the same thing over and over and over again. Like that said, nobody's bringing up Epstein anymore. Nobody's talking about Epstein. Nobody's talking about how they're sending numerous more contractors down to the Bahamas to try and keep law and order because the rioting and the pillaging and the violence has gotten so horrific down there. Talked to one of my other buddies who's a sheriff. They're getting more SWAT team guys that are basically off detail right now to go down there on contractor details to be, they're told, that be able to manage on their own for at least 7 days on their own, $900 a day as a contractor in the Bahamas because it's gotten so violent down there right now in some areas. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about Epstein. We're not talking about O'Rourke saying he's going to take your AR-15 and AK-47 blatantly with an exclamation point. I'm not talking about that right now. Don't look at that. We need to go help Saudi Arabia because they can't handle their own diaper changing because they're incapable of doing anything and the United States needs to attack Iran for them. Wake up, look at the truth, understand what they're telling you right now, and look behind the curtain, because I'm telling you right now, with this in the mainstream media for the next week, they're going to do everything they can with their sleight of hand behind the scenes right now. This is always, always how they pass bills. This is always how they pass unconstitutional laws. This is always how they put things in place behind the scenes, and nobody knows the wiser. Because they're too busy staring at CNN for 24 hours, scared to death about, oh my God, we're going to attack Iran, we're going to go to World War III now, we need to stay in this horrible negative frequency, staring at the television and staring at our phones every waking moment that we're not doing something else, and we need to stay in this constant frequency of fear and terror. This is what they're doing, this is what they're incredibly good at. You have to wake up and see what's really going on behind the scenes, Dad. Very, very great analogy, again, as you were talking about with frequency and atoms and so forth, by the way, and you talked about that earlier. This is exactly what they're doing, is they're trying to keep everybody in a state of fear, the same thing they did after 9/11. And Dad nailed it a second ago. All this stuff came up 9/11. I mean, you had what, the New York Times comes in and says, oh, airplanes took aim at the towers, inanimate
That's
objects.
Right.
The AR-15
right.
took aim at the civilians and shot everybody in a mass shooting. The AR-15 did it. Again, inanimate object is to blame. Don't look at who's behind the scenes. Don't look at the Alaskan University research study that went on for 4 years and could never replicate the World Trade Center 7, the Solomon Building, free-falling in 2.5 seconds from a fire on the 13th floor. Don't look at that. Don't look at any of that stuff going on right now. Now we need to be focused on Iran because they're the ones who attacked Saudi Arabia. And again, as I said it before, why in the heck do we even have to do anything with Saudi Arabia? We're acting like they're a 2-year-old. They need their diaper changed over there. But yet they can dictate foreign policy through Congress. They can dictate and change the petroleum prices all around the world. They can go in and buy their hundreds, thousands of exotic cars and ship them all around the world and not even follow country law. They go into England. They go into Europe with these Bugattis and these Lambos doing donuts in the middle of the street, racing 180 miles an hour in 35-mile-an-hour zones, jet off back to their compound, dump their car off, get on their plane, and jet out of the country. Seen it happen, watched it happen, giving you guys the reports on it. But now they have their oil field attacks, so the United States has to do something about it. Unbelievable, Dad.
You know, Austin, it's interesting. You know, John Bolton was a dual Israeli citizen, right? He's been replaced, you know, with basically another guy, Charles Kupperman, who's also probably a dual Israeli citizen. And he's basically called the nuclear conflict in a large part of physics problem. And he feels as though that, you know, what difference does it make if we lose 20 million Americans in a war, in a nuclear war? He's made these statements. As if Bolton wasn't bad enough, Charles Kupperman's even worse. He made an extraordinary and controversial claim in the early 80s that nuclear conflict with the USSR was winnable and that a nuclear war is a destructive thing, but it's still a large part just a physics problem. What? Kupperman appointed to his new post on Tuesday after Trump fired his dual Israeli citizenship, John Bolton, from the job, argued that it was possible to win a nuclear war in the classical sense and that the notion of total destruction stemming from such a superpower conflict was inaccurate. He said that a scenario in which 20 million people died in the U.S. as opposed to 150 million died, a nation then could emerge as a stronger side and prevail in its objectives. Where did these people come from? Man, what a bunch of weirdos make these comments. Ugh. Gosh, guys, I am so happy I'm in covenant with the Most High God. I am so happy that we have Jesus. I am so happy that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I love you guys. Austin, close it up. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. We got about a minute.
Absolutely, bud. All this stuff going on right now, again, as I told everybody before, and I say every single day, stay prepped, stay prepared. Don't live in a state of fear ever. Stay in a state of preparedness and peace through Jesus Christ. Always stay ready, always stay prepped. Whenever you have everything in line and ready to go, you don't really have to worry about much because you already know you're ready. You have the skills and the tools to handle any situation ahead. So always, again, stay prepared and stay ready. We appreciate the support. Thank you for everything. Healthmasters.com. If you guys need anything at all, we're here to take care of you guys. We have lots of different products on sale, including magnesium brain food product of the week. Really good for memory, really good for energy, really good for focus. On sale right now for over 15% off. If you need anything, please give us a call. Healthmasters.com. 1-800-762-1834. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Stay prepared. Stay sharp. Appreciate you guys, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.